Okay, good evening, everybody. We're going to begin. The topic tonight is, what are all those pages in the beginning of Shacharit? A study of the connection between Karbanos and Tefillah, but really trying to make sense of what all the pages are in between the Birchas HaShachar, the 15 brachos that everybody says, and then a lot of the little words that some people do say, some people don't say, until you finally get to the Kaddish, that is all important. And then also just in most congregations, how much even time you potentially, even if you wanted to say all these words, if you would have time to do so, maybe what should you say if you only have a little bit of time? So we're going to start right in the beginning. If you have the Hebrew English Art Scroll Siddur, it's on page 20. But right after the long bracha of Hamavir Shena, which has a long Yihiratzon that ends in the bracha of Gomel Chasadim Tovim La'amu Yisrael, there's a short Yihi Ratzon prayer that seems to be extra. It's not part of the bracha. Where does this Yihi Ratzon come from? So the Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, it lists what different Amoraim at the end of their davening, at the end of their set 18, 19 brachos of Shemona Esrei, they each would add their own prayer to kind of close, to kind of put their themselves into the davening, not obviously not taking away from that which Chazal, from that which the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, when they made the text of the Shemona Esrei, but they threw in their own words of prayer. What's fascinating is that what's been accepted by every, at least in this Nusach Ashkenaz for sure, the fact that we conclude our Shemona Esrei with the paragraph of Elokai Nitzor, that was one of the Amoraim. That was Mar, the son of Ravina, who's the last of the Amoraim. His father was one of the editors of the Talmud Bavli. That was his tefillah. That's what he said every day at the end of his Shemona Esrei, and we adopted that tefillah. As an aside, the tefillah that Rav, the first Amora, he used to say a tefillah at the end of every day of Shemona Esrei, and we adopted that tefillah as part of our Rosh Chodesh benching. This coming Shabbos is going to be Shabbos Mevarchim, and we're going to say the Yihi Ratzon prayer in Shul. And you'll sometimes see in a Siddur, at the end it says, B'schus Tefilas Rav, in parentheses. It's because it was actually Rav's prayer. He did not say it once a month, he actually said it every day. Part of our Al-Chait that we say on Yom Kippur has a Yihi Ratzon prayer that was the Amora Rava would say it every day, that I shouldn't have been created, now that I was created, I'm not worthy, and I should never sin again. So Rava said that every day. We adopted it as part of the Vidui. So this Yihi Ratzon prayer comes from the Tana Rebbe. If you take a look at source number one on your source sheet, the Gemara in Brachos, again, Daf Tezayim Abiz, Rebbe is code word for Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, who was the general editor of the Mishnayos. Basar Tzlose, after he finished davening, after he finished the text of the Shemona Esrei, Amar Hachi, he would say as follows. He would say this Yihi Ratzon prayer, Yihi Ratzon Elfanecha, may it be your will, Hashem Elokai Velokei Avosai, my God, the God of my fathers, Shatatzileni Hayom Uvachol Yom, that you should save me today and every day, save me, Me'azai Fanim Umeazus Fanim, save me from brazen people and from brazenness. May Adam Ra, from an evil person, may Chava Ra, an evil friend, may Shachan Ra, an evil neighbor, may Fegar Ra, an evil occurrence, umi Satan Hamashchis, from the evil Satan who is destructive, umi Din Kasha, from a harsh judgment, umi Baldin Kasha, from a harsh litigant, Bainshu Ben Bris, Bainshu any Bris, whether the person is a Ben Bris, meaning Jewish, whether the person is not a Ben Bris. And the Gemara goes on to say, it sounds like Rebbe was like nervous. Even though Rebbe had bodyguards, Rebbe was a very prominent individual. Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, not only was he wealthy, he had a very great relationship with the Roman government, and he had protectors. He basically had secret service. Even though he had human secret service, that didn't stop him from asking Hashem for protection. What's interesting to note is that this Yihi Ratzon is placed right next to the bracha beforehand that you see on page 20 in the Art Scroll, the last Birchas HaShachar, if you're looking in any other Siddur, also has a Yihi Ratzon. there seem to be differences. The hiratzon that's said as part of the bracha is said in plural. It's as if we're throwing ourselves into the schus of the rabbim, into the merit of the whole congregation, while this hiratzon is said in the singular. Rav Schwab, in his commentary on tefillah, notes that even if a person says maybe they don't have the merits of the rabbim, they're basically throwing themselves at Hashem for mercy. What's also interesting is this seems to be a very social prayer. It seems to be, and if anything, this should be more popular nowadays, because this prayer is about negative social interaction, and that it's kind of highlighting this. Rabbi Sachs in his Siddur brings from his predecessor, Lord Jacobovitz, the former chief rabbi, that humans are social creatures, we're social beings, and we're basically praying to be saved from harmful social interactions. One might even say that nowadays we have, everyone's not so social person to person, but they're social in social media. Maybe this is a tefillah that you shouldn't, I'm saying a little bit with a smile on, but a tefillah that you shouldn't be harassed online, a tefillah that you should be accepted socially. You shouldn't have interactions that are improper. There are some who note that if you count out the 15 Birchas HaShachar that we just had, and you add in the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim, the bracha of Asher Yatzar, and the bracha of Elokai Neshama, that equals a bracha, a total list of 18 brachos. And so just like Rebbe, who after the 18 blessings of Shmona Esrei said this short Yihi Ratzon, so too we, in our mornings, can, after we say 18 brachos, say this tefillah of Rebbe. So it's there. It's obviously there if a person wants to say it. If we continue in the davening, you open the next page of the Siddur, and it says it's the Akedah on page 22 in the Hebrew Art Scroll. Where does the Akedah come into play? The Akedah is the passage that comes from Bereshis, Parshas Vayera, the story of Avram sacrificing Yitzchak. Now, many of us came here tonight, and our focus is going to be talking about Karbanos. Yitzchak was supposed to be a Korban, and in place of Yitzchak, there was an aisle, there was a ram that was brought as a Korban, but that was a one-time instance. The Parsha of the Akedah, this passage of the Akedah, is not really part of Karbanos at all. The Shulchan Aruch notes in source number 2 on your sheet, this is in Simen Aleph of Aruch Haim, the very first pages of the Shulchan Aruch, he writes, Tov lomar parsha sa'akeda. It's good to say the parsha, the paragraph of the akeda, uparshas haman, and the paragraph that deals with the giving of the man falling from heaven for the Israelites in the desert, vaser sa'dibros, and to say the Ten Commandments, uparshas ola uminchu shlamim v'chatas v'asham, and to also say karbanos that talk about the carbon. Ola, mincha, shlamim, chatas, and asham. Something that we'll talk about in a little bit, so we're going to kind of table that for a second. But the Shulchan Aruch said you should say the Akedah. Why would you want to say the Akedah? The first thing, basically, it's almost like first thing in the morning. You haven't even gotten to what we think davening is all about. Shman, Shmona Esrei, and Pesukah Zimra. Why would you want to say the Akedah? So there's an ancient practice, which you'll see has some connection between Karbanos, Beis HaMikdash, and davening, is an ancient practice to try and mention the Akedah because of the concept of what we call Zuchus Avos. Zuchus Avos, the merit of our forefathers. We're not that worthy. But if we could throw up an idea to Hashem, remember that there was Avram and Yitzchak and an Akedah, if we could do that in the morning, it's worthwhile to start your day that way. The Mishnah says something totally fascinating. You wouldn't have expected us to mention this Mishnah tonight. It's a Mishnah in the third parak in Yoma. Yoma is a Masechta. Yoma is focused on the day, namely Yom Kippur. And the first 7 chapters deal all about the Avodah, the service of Yom Kippur. So in the morning, but this really was kind of every day, Amar Lohem is in source number 3. Amar Lahem Hamamuna, the supervisor, would say in the temple, in the Beis HaMikdash, Se'u re'u im megia zman hashchita. Go out and check if it's time to slaughter the morning sacrifice yet. There's a halacha that it can only be by daytime. If it's not daytime yet, then you can't begin any of the shechita. Im higia haroa omar barkai. If the time had come, the one who saw that morning had arrived would scream out, Barkai. That's not what we're interested in. Matisya ben Shmuel Omer. Matisya ben Shmuel would say that the supervisor would ask the following question about the skylight in the morning in the Beis HaMikdash. Heir pinei kol hamizrach ad shebechevron? Has the sky, the east light, has it lit up the sky all the way until Chevron? And the lookouts would say yes. Chevron is a little bit of a distance from Yerushalayim. You can't necessarily see Chevron from Yerushalayim. Why was that the question that was asked literally day, not just day one, I'm talking about moment one of the day in the Beis HaMikdash. The first question, according to this Matisya, was, is it light in Chevron? To say the word Chevron. So in source number four of Avadim Bar Tanura, the main and essential commentator on Mishnah, right? What we consider Rashi on Chumash, Rav Avadim Bar Tanura is his commentary on Mishnah. So he says, Ad shebechevron, osun ha'undin lamata, those who are standing below, sholin lo, they would ask the person standing on high, higia or lechevron, has the light reached chevron? V'humei shevhein, he'd answer, yes. Ukedai lahazkir zchus avos, maskir in chevron. There are special people in chevron. There's Avram, there's Yitzhak, there's Yaakov, there's Sarah, there's Rivka, there's Rachel Valea. The first, it's kedai to just mention in the Beis HaMikdash the word Chevron. This perhaps, not definite, but this perhaps sets the model for us, again, starting in Beis HaMikdash, to mention the Akedah as part of our davening, as part of our service to Hashem. And that's really what the Akedah, that's the role that it plays in the Siddur. And say, take a look at source number 5, the Mishnah Brura, in his commentary on that same comment from Shulchan Aruch that we took a look at in source number 2. So the Mishnah Brura says as follows. He says, Parshas HaAkedah, Kodem Parshas HaKarbanos. You say the Parsha of Akedah before the reciting of the paragraph of the Karbanos. V'yachal Omer Parsha HaAkedah, Parshas HaMan, Afilu B'Shabbos. First he tells us, you could even say it on Shabbos. Okay. V'ein Dai B'Amira. He says, it's not enough just to say the words. Eli yisbonein mashu omer. You should really be concentrating on what you say if you'd say these paragraphs. V'yakir niflos Hashem, to recognize the wonders of God. V'chein mashu omer b'gemara, like this is similar like what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says, kol ha'omer tila l'david, gimel pamim b'chol yom. Anyone who says the paragraph of Ashrei, Yoshua v'secha, tila l'david, if you say that 3 times a day, right, so if you're at Psuka de Zimra, and then the Ashrei that comes after Shemoneh Esrei, and then by Mincha, you get 3 times, the Gemara says, Muchtach lo shehu ben olam haba. You're promised to be ben olam haba. So that sounds great. Let me spend my whole day doing whatever I want, and let me just throw up 3 Ashreis. But you can't just say it. So the same way there, you're supposed to say it with great intent and kavana. Gam kein ba'ofen zeh, so too, when it comes to the Akedah. And here's the underlined part. Vitam la'amiris kol zeh, we want to mention the schus avos. We want to mention the merit of our forefathers every single day. Vigam, he says, similarly, particularly about Akedah, he says, Vigam kede lachnia yitzro. It's also a way to kind of humble one's own inclination for things. Kimo shamaser Yitzchak nafsho. Yitzchak was willing to give up his life for Hashem. So I should be willing to give up my gossip to keep the laws of Lashon Hara. I should be willing to curtail my diet to keep the laws of Kashrus. So saying the Akedah has an aspect of Zchus Avos, has an aspect of reminding Hashem, now that I'm about to die, I'm going to ask for things. Who am I? What do I deserve? I deserve nothing. But remember my great-great-grandfather Yitzchak? He was willing to be sacrificed. Remember his father Avram? He was willing to sacrifice him. And so that's part of the rationale why you would say the Akedah. Clearly, on Rosh Hashanah morning, it feels a little bit more important to say the Akedah, because on Rosh Hashanah we know that we put a great focus on remembering the Akedah. I haven't seen anywhere that it says you're supposed to more say it on Rosh Hashanah than any other day. But definitely when we're holding a shofar, the aisle, the shofar that comes from Aram to remind Hashem of Akedah Yitzchak, so there's what to be said. Now you'll see on page 22 and page 24 respectively, they're short tefillot that come right before and right after, kind of a pregame and a postgame to the Akedah. Those, whoever, if you have a minhag to say those, or you want to develop a minhag to say those, it's fine. However, since it's more of a request type of prayer, one would leave it out on Shabbos and Yom Tov when we normally leave out requests. And here, Baruch Hashem, Halacha Ka Art Scroll, we just follow the notes in the Art Scroll Siddur, and it tells you what to do. The Tur, in source number 6 on your Shur sheet, the Tur, who was in the 1300s, he cites a practice, Uvisidure Ashkenaz, in the Siddurs of Ashkenaz. These are all handwritten sitters. Kosov achar yihiratzon, after the yihiratzon, which I presume he's talking about that short yihiratzon that we said was from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, to say the paragraph called Ribon Kol Ha'olamim, which you'll see on page 26 in the Art Scroll Siddur, the third line. The Darkei Moshe, which is the comments of the Ramah, who we normally find on Shulchan Aruch, he first wrote a commentary on the Tur, known as the Darkei Moshe. So he writes in the brackets of source 6, V'chein haminog v'haseder b'sidurim shalanu rak sh'omrim kodem ribon la'olam ye adam yarei shemayim. That on page 26 in the article, you should start with the word la'olam and have it flow into ribon kol ha'olamim. Now, it does make sense to do that. This whole page, and if you're looking in the Hebrew Art Scroll, page 26, which starts with the paragraph of La'olam, and then continues into the paragraph of Aval Anachnu, and then Lefikach Anachnu, until the Ashreinu Matov Chalkenu, and then saying the line of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, and continuing, not the paragraph of Vahafta, but continuing the paragraph of Atahu, and ending with the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Shimcha Barabim, this is all one long citation. It's a citation from a source called the Tana Devei Eliyahu. The Tana Devei Eliyahu is a type of medrash that was written, it only got put together and compiled and spread out amongst people in the 900s, in the 10th century, but our tradition, and again, perhaps academics have a different version, but the tradition of rabbinics is that these were conversations that an Amora named Rav Anan had with Eliyahu Hanavi. He was on a level that he actually, there were times in his life that he didn't, that Eliyahu wouldn't come and see him, and he tried to get Eliyahu to come back. So these conversations are compiled into two works, all under the umbrella of Tana Devei Eliyahu. There's Eliyahu Rabba, Eliyahu Zuta. This whole long paragraph, including the line of Shema Yisrael and this bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Shimcha Barabim, it's all a citation from this Tana Devei Eliyahu. Why? How did it get into our Siddur, and how? Why is it part of our davening? It's nice to say Shema in the morning, but we're going to be saying Shema later on. We're going to be seriously saying Shema with like three paragraphs, and we're going to have brachos that come before the Shema, brachos that come after Shema. So if you turn to page 2 of your source sheet, from the Koran Siddur, the commentary of Rabbi Jonathan Sachs. So Rabbi Sachs explains as follows. I can't really do it better. Some believe that it dates from a period of persecution under the Persian ruler Yazdegerd II, who in the year 456 CE forbade the observance of Shabbos and the reading of the Torah. Jews continued to practice their faith in secret, saying prayers at times and in ways that would not be detected by their persecutors. This explains the reference to fearing God privately and speaking truth in the heart. That is the secret practice of Judaism. And the recitation here of the first lines of the Shema, which could not be said at normal time. The final blessing of who sanctifies his name amongst the multitudes refers to the martyrdom of those who went to their deaths rather than renounce their faith. Martyrdom is called Kiddush Hashem, Mekadesh Eshimcha Berabin. So originally, this sounds like it might have actually been their whole davening was like this. And that's why they threw in Shema, because it was a way to accomplish saying Shema. Now, there's a difference of opinion. You'll see in a Nusach Ashkenaz Siddur, like we have in our shul, they say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Shemcha Barabim. In a Nusach Svard Siddur, in a Hasidic tradition, and I haven't checked any others, they actually just say, Baruch Atah, Mekadesh Shemcha Barabim, or Baruch Mekadesh. They don't say the name Hashem. Why not? Because it's not a bracha that's found in the Gemara. the bracha is only found in this Tana Devei Eliyahu. It's not officially in the Talmud Bavli or the Talmud Yerushalmi. And so there are those who are of the approach that if it's not an official bracha mentioned in the Gemara, you shouldn't use Hashem's name. But the tradition of Nisach Ashkenaz, which is a fine tradition, is to say Shem Hashem, and that's what we do here. So why are we still saying it? If it was a tefillah that was old, why? How did it make it into our Siddur and it stays in our Siddur? Well, so first of all, we noted the Torah already told us it's in the Siddur and it's part of the Siddur. So he's saying in the 1300s, even though he wasn't living in a time of persecution, and he was able to daven everything that he was going to daven, it's part of the Siddur. So it could be once it just became a part of the people, that's what we daven. Rav Schwab, in his commentary on tefillah, he says that we just finished that Yehi Ratzon, which spoke all about protecting us from evil people. Save me from the Adam Ra, and the Chaver Ra, and the Shachin Ra. So it almost sounds like, you know, they're all terrible and I'm great. So by saying this paragraph, we highlight the fact that we're not coming to you, Hashem, as tzaddikim. We're coming to you with humility, and we're kind of throwing ourselves at your mercy. This it happens to be parenthetically, we've adopted in an Art Scroll Siddur on page 28 to include in the line of Shema and Baruch Shem to also say the first paragraph of V'ahavta. That's not found in the Tana Devei Eliyahu, but however, it's a good time. If you are in a calendar day where there's a long enough davening, like on a Shabbos morning, that you're not going to be able to say the three paragraphs of Shema before the time that Shema should be finished, then this is an appropriate time to not only put in the V'ahavta like Art Scroll did on page 28, but to put in the paragraph of V'haya and to put in the paragraph of Vayomer, to say all three paragraphs of Shema. So right, on a winter Shabbos, that where Shachar starts at 9 o'clock, it's pretty much impossible to make Zman Kriya Shema in many weeks. And therefore, in order to fulfill a biblical commandment, which is kind of based at this point more important than almost anything that we're davening, one would have to make sure to say the Shema earlier. If you take a look after the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Shimcha Barabim, so there's one in the Art Scroll Siddur on page 28, there's a paragraph called there's a paragraph of Atahu Hashem, and it in some Siddurim it gets divided into two paragraphs. One is Atahu Hashem Elokeinu, and then five lines in Atah Asisa Shemayim Vesaretz. These two paragraphs perhaps were also added into the Siddur at times of persecution, and they just stayed? Yeah.
Sorry, going back from one thing to the previous point. Is it recommended, if you're not going to make Zman Kriya Shema, is that the most preferred way to go on doing that, as opposed to just saying Shema, you know, prior to...
I don't know for sure. It's a nice thing to be doing, to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim with the tzibur, with the congregation, so if everyone's kind of doing it, right, the Shema is the kind of thing that whenever the congregation is saying Shema, you need to stop and at least say the first line of Shema, because it can't be that you're in the room and everyone else is accepting the yoke of heaven and you're saying Asher Yoshev Yisecha. You're doing your own thing. You're learning Daf Yomi. You can't do that. If you're talking to your friend, well, you can't do that either. But if the room is saying Shema, you have to say Shema. So once you have to say Shema anyway, it seems to be an appropriate time. Now, if you're trying to be extra scrupulous, some people try to say the time. We here, when we print in our calendar, we print the time according to the Vilna Gaon. There's another way to think about timing, according to the Magen Avram, which is an earlier time. So a person might want to say Shema at home, or they might want to say Shema at home because if they wait till Shul, they might get involved with something and forget. So it's important to figure out the best time to say it. For many people, since they already have the Siddur open and it has the words there, it's a good time to say it. I haven't seen halachically someone say, "Oh, this is important to say it here." So these paragraphs of the long paragraph of Atta here on page 28 in the Art Scroll, it talks about a lot of hope. It talks about instilling hope within the people about kibbutz galios, about the ingathering of the exiles. Again, something that during times of persecution was important. And you might say that if a person like us is paying attention to the davening, reading the words and understanding, it can give chizuk to us. It can give chizuk to us as well. At this point, we turn the page in the Art Scroll Siddur to page 30, and we enter into the world of reciting karbanos. So, how do we know we're supposed to recite karbanos? So the Shulchan Aruch that we saw before, in source number 2, had said the idea of Tov Lomar Parshas HaKedah, and also the Parsha that talks about the Ola, which was a carbon that was completely burnt, a carbon mincha, which was a flour, F-L-O-U-R, offering, the shlamim, which was the type of carbon that made everybody happy, because a little bit went on the mizbeach, a little of the meat went to the kohanim, a little of the meat went to the owner, chatas, a carbon that one brings if they violate something that, had they done it on purpose, they would have been chayiv karis, which is a very severe punishment. They did it by accident, they bring a carbon chatas, and asham is a carbon if they're not sure if they did a certain aveira or not. So the Shulchan Aruch already told us it's a good idea. In source number 8 on page 2, just a couple of lines later in the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Yesh noagen lomar, there are those who have the practice to say, Parshas HaKiyor, the paragraph that talks about the wash basin that they used, the Kohanim used to wash their hands and feet, what we call Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, when they used to always have to sanctify their hands and their feet before they got changed, after they got changed, before they would do the service, in addition to going to the mikvah. The Achar Kach Parshas Trumas Hadeshen, and afterwards say the paragraph about the removal of the ashes before they could start the day's worth of sacrifices on the Mizbeach, on the altar, they would have to clean off the ashes from the day before, and there's a whole procedure, what the kohen wears, and how he takes it, and where he puts the ashes. The Achar Kach Parshas HaTamid, then you should say the Parsha of the Tamid, which was the daily offering, the main daily offering, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. The Achar Kach Parshas Mizbeach Maktir Ktores, then the paragraph that talks all about the Mizbeach, where they used to bring the incense, the spices type of sacrifice, Uparsha Simanin Aktores Vasiyoso, the paragraph which talks about what were the ingredients that went into the incense and how it was done. So the Shulchan Aruch said in Simon Aleph, this is in Simon Aleph, basically first pages of Shulchan Aruch, says Yesh Noagin. Later on, in source number 9 on your sheet, in Simon Memches, the Shulchan Aruch has a title. There are always titles. The title is Omrim Parshas HaTamid. You should say the Parshas HaTamid, Upsuke Karban Shabbos, and the Psukim of the Karban of Shabbos, Omrim Eitzel Parshas HaTamid should be said next to the Parsha of the Tamid. So here, it happens to be that the first comment is not from Rav Yosef Cairo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. The first comment by the first bullet in source 9, Hagah, means that means the word note, N-O-T-E, which is the comments of the Rama, Rav Moshe Isserles, who put the Ashkenazic commentary into the Shulchan Aruch. He says, "Va'omrim parshas haTamid." You should say the paragraph of the Tamid offering. V'yesh omrim seidah maracha. Some say you should say the order of how the firewood went. Ribon ho'olamim, and a paragraph called Ribon ho'olamim atatzivisanu. Fine. Then the next line is the words of the Shulchan Aruch, where he says, "B'Shabbos omrim etzel parshas Tamid psukei musaf Shabbos." On Shabbos, you should say, if you're looking at the Art Scroll Sitter, just so you know this is real. If you take a look at page 40, if you keep your finger on page 30, but turn over to page 42, then the bolded gray section, there are two psukim on Shabbos. You should add these two psukim, which talk about the karban musaf that was brought on Shabbos. Right? There's a whole question. Why don't we lane these psukim every single Shabbos? We know that on a Yom Tov, we're always laning the musaf, as the maftir always gets the musaf. We turn to Parshas Pinchas, and we read on Pesach what they brought on Pesach, on Sukkot what they brought on Sukkot. So why not every Shabbos? It'd be great. You have another Sefer Torah, more kibudim to give out. So the problem is that there are only two psukim. So two psukim, you can't have an aliyah out of two psukim, which is the main reason why we don't. But says the Shulchan Aruch, you should add those into your davening. So you have to leave a little, you know, that's why we spend so much time davening karbonos on Shabbos morning. We give extra time, so you could say these two extra psukim. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Avolob Rosh Chodesh v'Yom Tov." You don't have to do it on Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov. Mipnei shekari b'Torah b'psukei Musaf. So he says that's exactly the point. You're going to read them in Musaf. The Rama in the next bullet says, "V'yesh omer shemaskirim gam Musaf Rosh Chodesh." You should do it for Rosh Chodesh, which Art Scroll clearly paskins like the Rama, because the second gray paragraph on page 42. Is what we say on Rosh Chodesh in the morning, the paragraph of Rosh Echad Sheichem. So he says that you could say it. So the implication, though, is It doesn't, the phrase Yesh Noagin was missing from source number 9. It's almost like here, Rav Yosef Kairo and the Rama are saying, you have to say the Karban Tamid. So people raise this a little bit of a question. In the first lines of Shulchan Aruch, what we saw in source number 8, the Shulchan Aruch had the language of Yesh Noagin. There, people have the practice, right? It almost sounds like if it's a nice thing if you want to, there people have the practice. In source number 9, it might be implying that it's an actual obligation. So there are different approaches. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shalom and Be Well, says that it's a practice that's karov l'chiyuv. It's, you know, whatever the timeline, wherever it is, it's closer to chiyuv than it is to just minhag. It's closer to obligation. There are some who go further. If you take a look at source number 10, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, not to be confused with the regular Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Shulchan Aruch of the Rav, was everyone, every community has a Rav, the Rav, Harav. If you're in this place, right, if you're in a Tzioni, a very Zionistic place, and you say Harav, so you're talking about Rav Kook. If you're in YU and you say Harav, you're talking about Rabbi Soloveitchik. If you're in Chabad and you say Harav, you're talking about the Shulchan Aruch Harav, you're talking about the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rav Shneur Zalman Miladai, known as either the Baal HaTanya, because he authored a sefer called the Tanya, or the Baal Shulchan Aruch Harav, the author of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. He made his own version of the Shulchan Aruch, patterned after the regular Shulchan Aruch, but according to the practices that he was setting forth for himself and his students. So he writes in source 10, this is his phrasing, Nahagu Kol Yisrael, all of Israel has accepted the practice, v'kavu chova al atzman, and they have set an obligation upon themselves. It's not something that the rabbis of the Talmud, that you're not going to find it in the Gemara. In the Gemara, it's not going to tell you anywhere that you should say karbanos before you have davening. Before Pesukei Dezimra, before you say Baruch Shamar, the Gemara never tells you, thou shalt say karbanos. We're going to see sources in the Gemara that kind of highlight the idea that tefillah takes the place of karbanos. But the Gemara never tells us to do this. It's a practice Rishonim talk about. It goes back to the time of the Gaonim. The Gaonim lived between 750 and 1,000. Apparently that's when the practice developed to have that as a formulation in the Siddur, to say these paragraphs of the sacrifices. But the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, Nagu kol Yisrael v'kavu chova, they set a chova for themselves. Why are we reciting karbanos at all? What's involved in saying the words? So there are two major approaches to why it is it made it into the Siddur. Why does it take such an important role? If you're looking in your art scroll Siddur, it's page 30, 32, 34, 36, 38, 40, 42, 44, 46, 48. We're talking about a large amount of pages in the Siddur. There are two main approaches to why it's there. And perhaps we should be thinking of, if we are going to be Jews who say karbanos, we should think about why we're saying the karbanos. So there's a little bit of a story found in the Gemara. It's found in multiple places with slight variations. We're going to take a look at the citation in source number 11, a Gemara Maseches Megillah. It's a conversation happening between Avram Avinu and Hashem. Omar Avram Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram Avinu said to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Shema Chas V'Shalom Yishrol Chotem Lefanecha. Maybe one day, my children, the Jewish people, they're going to sin before you. V'ata Oselem Kedor Hamabul Kedor HaFlaga. And you're going to give it to them over the head, like the generation of the flood, like the generation of the dispersion. You're going to punish them so severely. Omar Lo Laf. Hashem said no. So when you're Avram Avinu, you can push God a little bit. Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Bameida. How do I know that we can achieve a relationship with you, that we could always have a way to do something and we'll be forgiven for what we do? Amar Lo, Hashem said to him, Kuchali Egla Meshuleshes. Take for me an animal, and you're going to sacrifice it. This is the Bris Bein Abasarim. But it meant that Hashem was telling Avram Avinu, if you bring animal sacrifices to me, you and your children, They do something wrong, have them bring an animal sacrifice. That will appease me, and you won't be punished severely. So, Amar Lefanov, Avram says back, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Teinach Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim. That's a good schus. That's a good merit for the time that there's a temple standing in Jerusalem. But Bezman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Avram's a Navi. He knows there's going to be 2,000 years of exile where there is no Beis HaMikdash. Mati Aleim, what's going to be with the Yidden? What's going to be with the Jewish people? How are they going to appease you? Amar Lo, Hashem says to Avram, way back when, Kvar Takanti Lohem Seder Karbanos. I've already enacted for them or established for them the order of the sacrifices. Kolzman Shekorin Bahen. Any time that the Jewish people read this, read them, Malani Anam Kilu Makriven Lefnei Lefanai Karbon Umochalani Al Kolvan Oseim. I will consider it as if they brought the sacrifices before me, and I will forgive them for all of their sins. So immediately, Avram is calmed because he understands that there's always a future. The same way, right? The same. This Maimer Chazal is very similar to Aaron. Aaron HaKohen, when he felt a little bit left out because all of the Nesiim were bringing Karbanos. And he didn't get a chance to bring a carbon. So he kind of came to Hashem. And what did Hashem give him? What was his thing? To light the menorah. Ba'alos chasaneros. Aaron gets to light the menorah. And Aaron kind of turned to Hashem in the same way. When you're Aaron, you can do that. Say, this is great. Me and my children will be able to light the menorah, but the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. What do we have? And Hashem kind of hinted to him or answered to him, Chanukah. That the Jewish people will still light a menorah. It will continue. So this Gemara is even stronger than that. This Gemara is saying that as long as the Jewish people say the words of the Karbanos, it counts as offering a Karban. This idea is mentioned to us in the Prophet, in the Navi Hosea, in source number 12, on page 3. Kichu imachem divarim v'shuvu el Hashem. We read this on Shabbat Shuvah. Kichu imachem divarim, take words with you. V'shuvu el Hashem, and return to Hashem. Omru elav, say to him, Kol tisa avon v'kach tov, forgive all iniquity and receive us graciously. Uneshalma farim sefaseinu, so we will offer the words of our lips instead of calves. We can't bring farim anymore. We can't bring cows. We cannot. We have a problem. The problem is that you can only build a Beis HaMikdash on. You can only build a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. You can only build a Beis HaMikdash with a Navi. We don't have a Navi. You can't build a Beis HaMikdash. Besides all the political reasons involved why you can't build a Beis HaMikdash. You also can't build a Mizbeach anywhere except on top of the Har HaBayis. Once Shlomo HaMelech built his Beis HaMikdash, Temple number 1, on the Har HaBayis, from that point and forever, one can't build a Mizbeach anywhere else in the world, anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael. And since there are political considerations why we cannot build a Mizbeach on top of Har HaBayis, a Jew can hardly say a chapter of Tehillim on top of Har HaBayis, let alone bring up a sheep and try to shecht the Karban Pesach. It would probably start World War III. We can't do that. But says the Navi Hosea, Unishalma Farim Sefaseinu, you can go ahead and pay back the parim with one's mouth. And in truth, one could say that the entire tefillah that we have, all of our davening, there's a debate in Mesechus Brachos. Where do we learn out davening from? The fact that we daven Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv. Where do we learn that from? What's it patterned after? So the first approach in the Gemara is that we learn it from the Avos. We learn it from the forefathers. That Avram daven Shachris, Yitzchak daven Mincha, Yaakov daven Maariv. But the second approach, as you can see in Source 13, the Gemara says, Tefilos keneged tmidin tiknum. Our tefilos were established. The reason why we have Shachris is because in the Beis HaMikdash there was a Karban in the morning. The reason why we have Mincha is because there was a Karban in the afternoon. The reason why we have Maariv is because anything that wasn't taken care of in the afternoon, the fats and the limbs that needed to be burned on the Mizbeach, were burned at night. And so we see there's a great relationship already between Tefillah and Karbanos. The fact that Tefillah has something to do with Karban, it could even be equal. And Rabbi Sachs, in his introduction to the Siddur, he explains that there was this idea that tefillah could be in place of karbanos didn't only happen after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But the seeds for such an idea existed even before. Take a look at source 14. The transition from sacrifice to prayer was not a sudden development. 1,000 years earlier, in his speech at the dedication of the temple, King Solomon had emphasized prayer rather than sacrifice. Through Isaiah, the Navi Yeshaya, God had said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." The prophet Hosea, as we saw, said, "Take words with you and return to the Lord. Instead of bulls, we pay the offering of our lips." Sacrifice was the external accompaniment of the inner act of the heart and mind. Thanksgiving, atonement, and so on. Therefore, though the outer act was no longer possible, the inner act remained. This is how sacrifice turned into prayer. This is why Judaism was able to survive the destruction of the temple and the cessation of the sacrificial order. The external act could no longer be performed, but the internal act remained. This is the link between sacrifice and prayer. The Medrash Tanhuma on Parshas Vayera says as follows in source 15. Amar lohen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Again, when this was, I'm not sure. But at some point, Hashem turns to the Jewish people and says, Havu zehirin b'tfila. You should be very careful when it comes to davening. She'ein mida acheres yafa himena. There's basically nothing as good as davening. V'hi gedola mikol ha-karbanos. And is greater than all the sacrifices. Shenamar starts quoting Psukim, Lamali L'Roz Zivchechem, why do I need the multitudes of your offerings? Uvarshechem Kapechem, Gam Kitarbu Tfila, you should be adding prayer. Mechlalshi Gedolami Karbanos, it implies that it's greater than the offerings. Vafilu, and this is wild. Vafilu Ein Adam Kedai La'anos Betfilaso V'lasos Chesedimo. Even if a person is not really worthy that God should do kindness with them, once they daven and they keep adding tefillos, ani osachasirim. Hashem said he wasn't the person, he or she wasn't deserving. Now they will be considered to be deserving. So that tefillah, again, these are statements perhaps that are applying before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Tefillah is even high on a higher level than actually offering karbanos. The Gemara has a different approach that's rather similar. A different approach in terms of a source for reciting the words, because in source 16, the last page of Maseches Menachos, which is a whole Masechta that deals mostly with the offerings made a Karban Mincha, not Mincha in terms of the time of day. Mincha was the flour, F-L-O-U-R offerings. So the Gemara says there, Amar Reish Lakish, Maitechsiv Zos Torah Sa'ola. Why does the Chumash, when it talks about the Ola, it uses a phrase, Zos HaTorah La'ola. Why does it have that word, HaTorah La'ola? L'mincha L'chad Slashem. So the Reish Lakish says, Kol HaOseik B'Torah. If you're involved in the study of Torah in these areas, Ki Ilu Hikriv Ola Mincha Chatas Asham. It's as if you brought the sacrifice. And Rabbi Yitzchak says the same thing. Why does it say Zos Torah Sachatas? The same idea. Kol HaOseik B'Torah Schatas, Ki Ilu Hikriv Chatas. So that if you, and this has actually been scrupulous Jews over the generations, if they figured out that they needed to bring a certain karban for whatever reason, a person realized that they violated Shabbos b'shogeg, they forgot that something was prohibited on Shabbos, and they went ahead and really violated Shabbos, but it's unintentional because they forgot the laws and they didn't know. So that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they'd have to bring a karban chatas. So there were people who would follow this law of Reb Yitzchak and read the psukim in the Torah that talk about the karban chatas. And that counts to some level, as we've been proving, it counts as bringing a karban. So the first motivation for why we recite karbanos in the morning is because we can't bring actual sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, so we need to do our part by saying the karbanos that existed in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rabbeinu Yonah, who is one of the Rishonim, has a very fascinating opinion. He's dealing with the following question. There are two types of Torah. There's Torah she'bichsav, the written Torah, the 24 books of the Bible, Chaf Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, and there's Torah she'bal peh, the oral Torah, which we know of as the Mishnah and the Gemara. Originally, there were two main goals. Torah Shebechsav was supposed to be written down, pencil or pen, feather, and parchment. And Torah Shebaal Peh was supposed to be oral, something that was transmitted from teacher to student, teacher to student, teacher to student. And there are halachas about that. Dvarim Shebechsav, iyato yachal omer ba'peh. You're not allowed to say Torah, you're not allowed to read from the Torah by heart. You have to read from a text. And the Torah Shebaal Peh, you're not allowed to write down. Things happened throughout history, and the Torah was going to be forgotten. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi decided to put down the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda and Ravashi decided to put down the Talmud Bavli, and Rabbi Yochanan decided to write down the Talmud Yerushalmi, and that put us on a path of all these books in a Jewish library, and many, many more. Because they realized that if we don't write things down, because of all this exile, we're going to forget Torah. It's based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Eis lasos Hashem, he fears Sarasecha, a time for Hashem, the Torah is going to be forgotten. They went ahead and they did something that was technically not correct. But the other side of it is that Devarim Shebechsav, things that are from the Torah Shebechsav, you're not supposed to say them bal peh. You're not supposed to say them by heart. So how many people here, when they daven the Karbanos, they get to page 30 in the art scroll, they close it, go to the Aron, take out a Sefer Torah and read the Karbanos from the Sefer Torah. You probably, if we saw someone do that, we'd probably arrest them for inappropriately taking this out the Sefer Torah. What are you doing? So how come, what about by Shema? Every day we recite Shema, and when we recite Shema, we don't take out a Sefer Torah and recite Shema, we say it as part of our Siddur. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, and he shows, any time that in addition to something being part of the Torah Shebechsav, there is an independent obligation, mitzvah-oriented obligation, to recite that passage, like Kriya Shema, you're allowed to say it bal peh. Bal peh means, in this instance, you're allowed to say it not from an official ksav. Obviously, many of us don't actually say it by heart. We're reading from the Siddur, but the Siddur doesn't count as ksav. The Siddur was printed by a printing press, not with a sofer writing with a feather and parchment. So the Rabbeinu Yonas, if you take a look at source 17, V'teiretz harav Rabbi Shlomo Menahar, sha'af al pi shedvarim shebechsav lo nitlu lo omer bal peh. Even though parts of the Torah are not allowed to be said by heart, afilu hachi kriya shema yachal lekros al peh, you are allowed to say kriya shema by heart, v'kevin shenitlu lo omer al peh lechova. Since it was given over to be said, it's an obligation. The same way, Rabbi Yonah says, that's why we're allowed to say the parsha of the paragraphs of the Karbanos. The paragraphs of the Karbanos are on a level of chova, and he equates it with kriyashma, which is a tremendous thing to say. And again, that might have been this opinion of the Rabbeinu Yonah, that might have been a little bit of the motivation that we saw that the Shulchan Aruch Harav says it's a chova, and why it makes it into Shulchan Aruch, and why it should be something that if it's not part of our davening, to some degree we should make it part of our davening. According to this approach of Rabbeinu Yonah, it's clear that saying the Karbanos is more important than any part of Psukei Dezimra. There is no obligation to say Psukei Dezimra. It's a beautiful thing, we should all do it. But it's not on the level of obligation like Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about saying Karbanos. Now it doesn't mean you have to say everything, but definitely parts of it. Now there's a second approach to saying to why we say the Karbanos. Because if you notice, we do a number of things. On page 30 in the Art Scroll Siddur, we start their paragraphs of Psukim. They're Psukim from the Torah about the Kior, Psukim from the Torah about the Trumas HaDeshen. Then on page 32, which is considered to be the most important, if you're only going to say one, it should be on page 32, the Karban HaTamid. We have Psukim from the Torah, from Parshas Pinchas, that talk about the Tamid. Continuing on page 34, we have the Psukim that talk about the Ketores. Then all of a sudden on page 36, we have a Braisa. We have a Braisa from a Gemara. Then on page 42, very famously, we have the paragraphs that start with the phrase Ezehu Mekoman. Ezehu Mekoman is the fifth chapter of Meseches Zvachim. All of the Mishnayos in the fifth Perek. And in the art scroll, it says that, and it has each Mishnah listed. So we have Psukim, we have Mishnah, and then we have the famous Brisa of Rabbi Yishmael Omer, B'Shloshas Amidos, which precedes the Kaddish, which everyone always pays attention to, which counts as Talmud. Talmud is not just Gemara. The Parak of Rabbi Yishmael comes from the Sifrei, which were the Halachic Midrashim on Sefer Vayikra, Leviticus, the Torah Kohanim, the laws of the Levites. And so we have all three areas of Torah are represented. So some might say we have all three areas of Torah represented because we just said that the Karbanos take the place, the tefillah that we're saying here, the saying of the Karbanos takes the place of the Karbanos. So let's do it all. Let's say the Psukim, let's learn Mishnayos, let's learn Gemara, let's do it all. The other approach to why these Karbanos are here are actually to fulfill our requirement of Torah study. Every single day there's a requirement of Torah study. In Source 18, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, which Daf Lamed, which deals with a lot of the laws of Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, Amar of Safra Mishum Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Mai Dechsev, why does it say in Shema, Vishinantim Levanecha, which we would normally translate, you should teach them to your sons. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Al Tikri Vishinantem, don't read it Vishinantem, Ela Vishilashtem. You should third the words of the Torah. La'olam Yishalish Adam Shnosav, a person should divide his years into three. Shlish B'mikra, he should spend a third of his life learning Tanakh. Shlish B'mishnah, he should spend a third of his life learning Mishnah, which is considered to be the kind of the short law statements of the Torah. Shlish B'talmud, and he should spend a third of his life learning Talmud, learning the Gemara, learning the reasons behind the laws and the connections, things of that nature. So the Gemara says, hold on a second. So that's right, so if you're going to, we're all living to 120, so until you're 40, you should only be learning Tanakh. From 40 to 80, learn Mishnah. When we hit 80, celebrate the birthday by getting a Talmud. Okay, but the Gemara says, Mi yodea kamachaye. How do you know how long you're going to live? Let's say you're only going to live till 80. You're never going to learn a piece of Gemara. It's terrible. So the Gemara says, no, lo tzricha liyome. It means each of your days. However much Torah study you do in a day, divide it into three. Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. We won't read it inside for time, but you can look at it at home. I'm sorry that there's no translation. But the Shulchan Aruch kind of paskins like this. And he patterns himself after the Rambam, a little bit of a scary example. He says, you know, the average working person works 3 hours a day and learns 9 hours a day. That's the average, you know, Joe Schmo on the street is learning 9 hours a day. So therefore, 3 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours, one from Mikra, Mishnah, and the Gemara. And then he goes on to say that's really only, that's patterned after the Rambam, that's really only the beginning of your learning. But as you get more accustomed to learning, take all 9 hours and spend on Gemara, because really everything's in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes Psukim, and the Gemara, the Ramah at the end quotes from the Rabbeinu Tam. We call it Talmud Bavli, a nickname for Talmud Bavli. It's a bilbul. It's all mixed up. It has Psukim, it has Mishnah, it's got everything. So you take your 9 hours and you do it there. There are poskim after the Shulchan Aruch who write that times have changed. Most people can't get away, if they have to earn a living, they can't get away with just 3 hours of work. So therefore, but it still should be in a person's mind that they shouldn't necessarily just learn all of one thing, but they should divide their time. So there's the approach to say that our karbanos in the morning, because we have Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud, it's actually there to accomplish our Torah learning. And there were certain approaches that said their Birkas HaTorah right before the karbanos. Right before the Karbanos, they would say Birchas HaTorah, and then the Karbanos. So this way, whatever they do in their day, they've already gotten a check in the box for learning Torah. They learnt a little bit Chumash, they learnt a little bit Mishnah, they learnt a little bit Gemara. As an aside, I can't tell if this is true. Rabbi Schechter used to quote, if he said it is true, but I never tested this, that the Parak of Ezeh Makoman, the fifth chapter of Maseches Zvachim, which we say all the Mishnayos, and each one talks about another karban, it's the only perek in Shas that doesn't have a machlokas. It's the only chapter in the Mishnah, in all of the Mishnah, in all 63 tractates, that doesn't have an argument. So that's how we want to start our day, without an argument. Just as the last source, source number 20, the Emes LeYaakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, we'll just take a look at the English. What he says karbanos can do for a person, He says, hidden here, this the Gemara in Megillah that we read together about Avram and Hashem is another idea. What Avram was asking, the offering of the sacrifice is sufficient during the time that the temple stands. The divine presence is apparent in all its glory, and the Jewish people are living in the land of Israel. Then he was certain that they would not perish from the world. They would have an eternal connection to their people, to their land. However, when the temple will no longer exist, and they will be scattered and separated in the exile, what will become of them? Meaning, how will it be possible to maintain their connection to God and their hope of redemption? To this, God responded, I have already enacted the order of the sacrifices. Meaning that when they recite the order of the sacrifices, they will be tied and strongly connected to the belief in the coming of the Mashiach. Behold, until Eloah arrives, we will not know the specific location of the altar, as well as all the unnecessary details to build the altar and offer sacrifices. Therefore, if the Jewish people, like us, recite the order of the sacrifices, they will be connected to Jerusalem and will wait with great anticipation for the future redemption, and this will ensure that they will not perish. May we see that redemption speedily in our days.